Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, February 13th, 2025. As you can tell, the podcast is late. It's not on its usual day. And there's a good reason for that. I was tired. There's no other way to get around it. Like, you guys know, I was sick all last week, and going into this week, it's gotten better, but you know, you still have that residual, like, hanging on kind of gack in your throat. And so that's been a little bit of an issue for me, but you know, we're getting through it. You know what I mean? Taking the medication, doing the work, and yeah, feeling otherwise overall physically feeling better, but you know, when you cough and you know you're hacking up a lung all the time and you got the aches and pains and fever and stuff of a cold or a flu or whatever, it takes its toll on your overall just energy levels in general. Like, you feel depleted and you feel like run down. So no matter how well you think you're doing, you know, when in your recovery process, eventually it catches up to you. And that's kind of what's happening now. It's like, now I'm getting to the part where, oh, I can actually, you know, sleep for more than a couple hours at a time without coughing my brains out. But because of all the coughing and aching that comes along with that, you know, you're just tired, man. So apologies for not getting it out yesterday, but here we are today. Thank you guys for being patient. Thank you all for the support, for all the listens and shares and everything like that. That's been really huge. The support that's coming out of Blue Sky is actually really cool too. I didn't really have any social media set up aside from Patreon for this podcast. So doing the Blue Sky was actually like a natural migration. And also steering away from social media personally and professionally was kind of a cool thing. So I've been really excited about how things have changed up over for just Wandering One Studios and me personally. Just by getting rid of the Facebook and Instagram and all that other jazz. Aside from feeling better about not actively supporting them, which, by the way, if you see my posts and stuff up there, or if you see my page out there, everything's deactivated. It's not that I closed it all off. It's just deactivated so that I still have access to like my Facebook Messenger for my friends and family. And then, you know, if I decide, you know, somehow somewhere down the line, somebody buys out Meta and Facebook and Instagram go back to not being controlled by a garbage dumpster fire of a human being, then I could conceivably return without having to do a lot of extra work to reinstate, you know, oh, this is actually mine and I branded it this way for this reason and yada, 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 right? So at least those things will, the apps are off my phone. I'm not going to be using them. They'll be deactivated, but they won't be deleted necessarily. Just as a branding thing, because who knows, this could all turn around in like a year or two. It could all turn around tomorrow for all we know. We're going to get into it, but there's so much shit that happens on a daily basis. It kind of feels like you're living a history test. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like any given day you're going to have a pop quiz. Feels bad, man. Feels bad. But there's still some fun stuff out there and we will talk about it. We will talk about it. But yeah, thank you very much for all the support through just sharing it on through social media and telling a friend, which is really the coolest way to do it. It's like tell a friend of a friend or a family member or a coworker about the podcast. Let them know what's going down. Putting it on social media helps a lot too. It really does put more eyes on it in places where I might not otherwise have the access. And that totally means the world to me. And then there are people who write into Patreon. I would really love for you guys to write to Patreon. You can even write to me on Blue Sky too. The links are going to both be here in the description of the podcast. So if you got a comment, a question, you know, maybe you need an opinion on something, hit me up. Let me know. Let's talk about it. Also, if you're curious, like if you want to say like, hey, I got an idea for a segment or, you know, maybe not even a segment because I don't really do that necessarily, but like I got an idea for like something I would want to hear you talk about. You know what I mean? Like a topic or, you know, maybe like a thread of, you know, to kind of continue a conversation with the audience and, you know, with you in particular too. I mean, that's fine too. I'm down for it. But yeah, hit me up on Patreon or on Blue Sky and let's get that conversation going. I'd love to hear from you guys. And thank you very much. I'm also back on Twitch And like I said, yesterday was kind of a wash, but I do plan on coming back either today and definitely tomorrow, which would be Friday, the 14th for Valentine's Day. Get a little something going there. And hopefully you guys will be able to stop in and join me. If you catch this today, I don't plan on doing a very long stream because I do have a movie day with my buddy. We're going to do like a movie. It's not a movie day. It's a movie night, actually. So we catch up with each other once a week, watch a film, and you know, just kind of talk some shit about it. What did we do last week? Last week was Ballerina, I think it was. Or week before last was Ballerina. It wasn't bad. It was unusual. It's like if Quentin Tarantino made a straight up, you know, Hong Kong style action flick, and then they got the guys from Hardcore Henry to film it. It was, I'll tell you this, the story kind of pops in and out all over the place, and then without giving you like a full blown review of it, if you're prone to motion sickness when you're watching films or whatever, you definitely gonna want to take a Dramamine for this one. I don't usually get that way, but even I was starting to feel a little nauseated because the camera moves so crazily. It's like they shot the entire thing with the, you know, a 4K hand, like camcorder or something, which isn't necessarily a bad idea, but for the speed and the kinetic energy of a movie like that, it felt very herky jerky. So if you're prone to motion sickness, I would say you probably want to steer clear of this one or double up on your Dramamine because you're going to need it. But yeah, we had a good time. So that's what I'm doing tonight, catching up with him, trying to figure out what to watch tonight. I'll let you know next week, what we pull up. And then, of course, because this is Valentine's Day weekend, the wife and I are going out on Saturday to go and check out Captain America Brave New World, which I'm really excited about. Also for the Marvel Rivals, you know, swag pack that comes along with purchasing a ticket. We're going to be going to like one of the Regal cinemas to watch this movie. And it's kind of a drag that you had to go so far to get this thing. But, you know, fuck it. We both like movies and we're getting into the next phase of we as a society and as moviegoers getting into the next real phase of Marvel movies. And I'm excited to see where the future goes. So this will be fun. It should be a really good one. But yeah. So that's what's going on this weekend. And then, of course, like the world burning down around our ears is another thing that's happening this week. That's happening every day, though, so I'm not really surprised. Disappointed, for sure. Disappointed, but not surprised. There's so many bananas things that happen. Definitely going to talk. Let's get into it. You know, first of all, the Super Bowl happened. It was a thing. And boy, if you guys were on Twitch on Sunday, you'll know that I didn't watch the Super Bowl at all. And be honest, I didn't really care. I wasn't too, you know, normally I'm about football. You know, I love football. It's one of my favorite things to watch. I loved playing when I was a young kid. But I've just become very disenchanted with the NFL in general. And, you know, the forced narrative of a team like the Chiefs really bothered me. It's being crammed down your throat over and over. Look, I'm not one of those people who gives a shit about, you know, why are they showing Taylor Swift on the TV? I don't care. Fuck it. I got nothing against Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? As a human being or as a performer, is her music for me? Not really, but she makes catchy, fun songs and she doesn't seem to be hurting a lot of people. So, I mean, that's about as good as you can ask for, I think. And, like, these people who are crying about it, you know what I mean? They're like, I don't get that. I don't get the whole, like, I hate seeing Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on TV. I get it, you know what I mean? Travis Kelce's kind of a dumbass, you know what I mean? But whatever, the lunkhead, you know, football star and the cheerleader, you know, the popular it girl, got together and they became like America's, you know, like a living embodiment of that American high school trope, you know? So whatever, dude, I don't give a shit. I just want to see good football, and the Chiefs ain't it, man. So it was with no small degree of satisfaction that I heard that they got stomped by the Eagles this past weekend, and I'm going to be honest with you. All you like bandwagon Chiefs fans make me giggle, and the outrage that you had, yo, you guys just got shown up. Let's call it what it is. Like, not you guys as fans, but like the Chiefs got shown the fuck up, and they really kind of got exposed for how good they're really not. You know, they're I'm not saying that they're the worst team in the NFL. No, not at all. They've obviously made it to where they got to for some reason, at least, right? There's a level of skill and talent that exists there that it's just undeniable. There are definitely talented and skillful, powerful players on those teams. They weren't as good as their refs were, though, and that's really what's been happening. We've been watching like the flop from, you know, Mahomes, and just overtly blatant like bad calls by refs. It's like, you totally missed that, or you're being paid to say this, you know, to tilt the story in the Chiefs' favor. And, you know, this could all be a setup to set it up. Like, it could be another ploy of like, oh, well, they had a rough loss last year, and now in 2025, this season, they're back, and they want to reclaim their NFL title. And like, that could be part of the fucking narrative too. You know, who knows? And I think it's always been a conspiracy, and I think that really people were starting to get sick of it. The ratings were starting to fall, and they're like, we need to watch the Chiefs eat this one. You know, I mean, from all the times we've heard that people have said, and it's happened before, people have said, you know, the refs have been paid, bounties have been put out to, like, you know, attack players, and, you know, so-and-so has been spoken to about, like, hey, you know, this is the way we're trying to push this narrative or whatever. Like, that's a thing that happens behind the scenes in the NFL. So I'm not doubting. It's an entertainment league. It's not a sports league. It's not the Olympics. But yeah, it's just crazy that's like a thing that we have to keep in the front of our minds and go like, huh, how about that? Also, Trump's fucking appearance at the Super Bowl and people going like, it's an honor to have the president here. It couldn't be me, though. I'll be honest with you. I can't see kissing somebody's ass like that. Like, if Mark Zuckerberg and like Elon Musk came to my house, I'd probably want to slap both of them. I mean, I'm not trying to go to prison, but I'd be hard pressed not to kick one of them in the face. Just because I don't like being fake like that in front of people. But hearing these players go, it's an honor to have the president here. So come and support the NFL. Shut the fuck up, man. Just say it with your chest, man. Say it for real what you really think. Don't say what the owner told you to say. It couldn't be me. You know what I mean? If they're like, wide receiver Link Flores coming up to their head, how do you feel about the president? Fuck Trump. I'm here to play football. Fuck out my face. Like, what? Because here's another thing I didn't know. Is my wife told me this, and she was like, I knew something you didn't know. I had no idea that Patrick Mahomes' wife was a maggot. That was news and information to me. I don't know how. Because as much football as I watch and as much political shit as I pay attention to, I thought I would have caught a glimpse of it. And maybe because I saw clips where they were mentioning like his wife on like Fox and Friends or some shit like that. And I was like, did I just blank that out? Because I don't have any love for him like that. But did I just literally just tune that out? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that I've just tuned out something like that just because I'm like, I can't deal with it anymore. But I would have sworn I would have remembered something like that. My wife was like, yeah, his wife's like a big Trump supporter and stuff like that. And then she played like some Fox and Friends clip where they were where Trump was talking about how much he liked Patrick's wife or whatever. And I'm like, what? Shut the fuck up. But then there was also something about Patrick Mahomes that I never really liked. You know what I mean? I know you folks did not, you know, they're like, oh, you should support your black brothers. Yeah, so they don't support me, so fuck him. But I never really could get on board with him, man. There's something about him just always seemed like really slimy and like kind of like too self-centered and too self-aggrandizing. Like he fed into his own publicity, I think is what it was. He believed his own hype. And that shit bothered me. I never really liked that. So when I found out that they were both onto the MAGA camp, I'm like, oh, good, fuck them, yeah. So absolutely fuck them. And then watching Trump like fall asleep and then leave. That was funny as hell too. Him getting booed. Oh man, that hits the spot. Him getting booed during the fucking intro and stuff like that, it like was great. And then him trying to spin it, because I watched the videos later. I saw the videos later, him trying to be like, yeah, you know, they booed Taylor Swift. Oh, MAGA is hard to forgive. You know what I mean? It's unforgiving. And then he's trying to play it like they were cheering for him when it was really them cheering for the national anthem being over. And they had already moved away from him. The whole crowd was booing him. Oh, the guy, there's one really great video out there of some guy who's like at the... He's at the walk, he's at the gate right there, or I forget, like at the tunnel. And as Trump is coming out, he's like, "You're a fucking traitor." Oh man, I must have watched that video like six times over just to listen to that guy. "You're a fucking traitor." His voice goes up so high. He's like, I was like, oh my God, this guy really means it. I was telling my wife, I'm like, he's that dude is literally like one Bud Light away from leaping over the barricade after Trump. He's definitely going to die if he does it. But it's just funny that that dude was so mad. And it's great, too. It's great to watch him get called out like that. You know what I mean? Fuck them. They're not immune from this shit. You are free to say what you like, but you are not free from the consequences of what you say. It's, you know, we're spinning through all the other stuff about the Super Bowl and everything like that. Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. I don't want to put any more spin on that. You know what I mean? I don't want to try to put any more mustard on that jazz. But damn, that was fucking badass, dude. And I think it was more for the reasons that, like, politically and societally, like, just looking at it from that lens, with the pageantry that he put into creating that show, picking the songs and layering them on one another, having Sam Jackson show up as Uncle Sam and essentially kind of both parody and at the same time play commentary on the state of the NFL, the state of the music industry, and the state of the American people, honestly, like the mindset of the American people, was really awesome to watch. Just a true masterwork. And yeah, for all that, it was also funny to watch, like, a lot of my people were like watching all the all the middle American white people run to social media to talk about how bad the halftime show was, when it was fucking amazing. It was electrifying. I loved it. Some of the good ones, some of the good notes that I saw from that was everybody's bitching and moaning about DEI, but suddenly, you know, they're all big fans of it when it's a Super Bowl halftime show and there's not a single white person in sight. It's like, so it really just goes to show that DEI was just, you know, their stupid way of saying the N-word without saying the N-word. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Once they heard that, they forgot to remember, like, diversity, equity, and inclusion actually applies to a wider scope of humanity than we want to pay attention to if you're a conservative. It applies to women. It applies to LGBTQ folks. It applies to poor suburban or rural whites. It reaches and touches just about every section of American life. So for these jackasses who are like, oh, fuck yeah, man. Uh-huh. What you wanted to say is fuck brown people. Because what you forgot to remember was that those DEI programs actually benefit you and your neighbors in ways that you didn't really focus on until it started to become a problem. They start cutting off, like, welfare benefits and Medicare and Medicaid. Somebody's like, I can't believe I voted for MAGA. I voted for Trump and I stuck behind him. And now they're getting rid of all the stuff, all the support for Medicare and Medicaid. My mom's insulin went up real high. She can't afford it. Yeah, stupid fuck. But we were telling you this whole time. I think somebody else was reading that thing. He's like, you know, and there's a couple different pointers that we saw over the week. Folks like Reese Waters, the Really American crew over on YouTube, Midas Touch Network, which I'll probably throw their Blue Sky links into the description as well, so you can get a peek at them. But yeah, one of the things they pointed out that we saw during the weekend was somebody said, yeah, he's like, they don't give a fuck about, you know, the American people. They just care that it doesn't affect them. they're not leaving MAGA for the right reasons, because, you know, there's a lady that said this, that they're a morally reprehensible and bankrupt organization who's driven by and fueled by hate. They're not leaving for that reason. They're leaving because it's affecting their lives and it's affecting their pocketbooks. So now all of a sudden there's a vested interest in them not being MAGA anymore. No. And in a way, somebody else was like, yeah, he's like, I feel bad for him because it sucks to have some people get fucked up. But part of me is like, in the back of my mind, like, hey, we told you. We were trying to tell you for years about this shit, to pay attention, that they take them at their word. They mean what they say. Nope. You want it so bad to own libs and stick it to, you know, your fellow humans, not even fucking Americans, just your fellow human beings, that you screwed yourself. So I hope this batch of crow tastes good. I hope it does. But yeah, the foolishness doesn't stop there. I mean, obviously it's going to continue on. You know, the Google Maps, and then, again, another one of those things that I wish I could pull completely out of my life is Google. Google Maps actually changed the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America in a just really bend over backwards for Trump kind of thing. But then again, their CEO was up there at the inauguration kissing Trump's ass, so I'm not surprised. Renamed it to the Gulf of America. I'm not calling it that. I'm just reporting what I saw. I went to Google Maps because I was like, there's no fucking, they really did it. They really did that. They really did that. No one else in the entire world is calling it that, by the way. Everyone else is laughing at America and Americans, like we're the biggest group of idiots in the world. And right now, it feels like we definitely are. But then here's another one. They just can't stop. They can't stop. There's a House Bill 1161, which is basically a push to try to annex Greenland, which is basically a calling for an invasion, essentially. But then when they do that, they want to rename it to Red, White, and Blue Land. I wish I was making this up, but you absolutely need to go and look up HB 1161. It's a real bill that's on, like, I think it's going through the House right now. And, yeah, it's going through Congress. And they want to try to, you know, annex Greenland and have it renamed to Red, White, and Blue Land, which sounds like something, I was telling my wife, sounds like something that, like, if you gave, like, a third grader a diorama project to try to come up with another way to name America, that's what some idiot fucking third grader would name it. It's called Red, White, and Blue Land. Really? You guys have voted for these people? Fuck out of here. It's just weird as fuck to watch them do this. It's whatever, dog, but it's just so disappointing and embarrassing to watch at the same time. You know what I mean? Trump yelling at Canada about, like, this, the trade agreement that he helped pin, the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. He's talking about how it's a fucking disaster, it's a mess. He created it. The current NAFTA agreement as it stands right now for North America, that was his baby. That was his idea. Those are his policies that he wanted enacted. Now, he's like, oh, they're the worst policies. You fucking did this, jackass. Just like how you wanted to have TikTok banned, and then when it gets banned, and they're like, oh, we're going to ban it. He's like, wait, I'll come in and save it. And then TikTok bows down to kiss your ass. That's why I got rid of TikTok. Because they all just, they fell in line. They fell in line. And they were like, oh, President Trump, you're saving us so much. Oh, we love you so much. Ugh, gross. Gross. It's just foul. And you know what? Everything that happens to these companies as they start to crumble and fall apart and their infrastructure starts getting ripped away, they deserve it. And I hope it happens fast, too. I hope it happens so fast they don't catch it. There's no safety net for them. They just face plant. It'd be hilarious. You know, here's another one. Just like, we're going to spin through a bunch of different stuff, but there's another thing that I saw just today. There's a manufacturer. They make the blanks, basically, like the forms and the molds that we use for the U.S. Mint to create pennies, right? So Trump decided over the weekend that he was going to announce plans to phase out the penny. So that coin will no longer be valid U.S. currency at some point, is their ambition, right? Well, here's the fun part. The only manufacturer for the blanks for these pennies to help, like, make the molds is based out of Tusculum, Tennessee. It's a company called Art AZN. And they're the sole producer. They make all the stuff that makes our, they make the molds and shit. They make our pennies. And now, because these dummies in fucking Tennessee voted for Trump, guess what? When him getting ready to get rid of the penny and trying to push to get that done, that means that this whole city is going to lose like one of their main sources of income. That manufacturer is looking to close down now. That means hundreds, possibly thousands of jobs that are going to just go bye-bye because this plant's going to close. Yeah, the leopards are eating that face real fast too, aren't they? Sucks to suck, man. This is the, and it's funny because we were trying to warn you about this the whole time. Like, please don't do this. You're not just going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt so many other people. And now you're hurting an entire community. Going to just pack up, fold up. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. But it, apparently that wasn't it. So, whatever, dude. And look, again, too, planes falling out of the fucking sky. You probably heard about the Boeing EA-18G, which is like a frontline of air to surface kind of, you know, personnel attack plane crashed into the San Diego Bay this past week. Both of the airmen that were on the plane managed to eject before it crashed into the bay. But they crashed into the San Diego Bay this weekend, and they were found alive. I guess like a fishing boat that was in the area saw them eject and like saw the plane impact the water, turned around to fish them out. So there was that happened. Vince Neil of Motley Crue fame has a plane as well. His plane crashed. He was not on the plane. I believe at the last report, it was three dead and two injured, including his sister. And I think his sister and a friend that survived the crash were released from the hospital as of today from some reporting I was reading earlier. But yeah, all this stuff is falling out of the sky. And there's another news bulletin that said, like, you know, we've been talking about these infrastructure problems when it comes to the FAA, air traffic control, especially around DC, you know, the whole incident with the helicopter flying into that passenger flight. So we've been talking about this for years, but they're not listening. And now they're going to have to because motherfuckers are dying. So, yeah. Whoops. But again, this is the kind of shit that you have to like keep in mind. When you're not focused on actually helping people and you're just trying to own somebody on policy, you miss a lot of the cracks, you know, in your policy design. So yeah, we're gonna see a lot more of this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, because it means that real people, there's a real human consequence that's gonna be paid for this kind of idiocy and short-sightedness. But the human cost is basically what it's gonna have to take for these idiots to take notice and to give a shit. And they don't, again, like we were saying earlier, they don't really care until it happens to them. Once it affects them, then it's like, oh, this is a tragedy, and we should be doing blah. Yeah, you should have been doing it when it was just the right thing to do. Not because, you know, Uncle Frank and Aunt Nancy ate it on their way to fucking Aruba for the holiday. Now you got to fish them out of fucking ocean. Oh, now you care. Now it's about helping other people, huh? When it fucks you over, dicks. Speaking of fucking people over, Virginia McCaskey, a former owner of the Chicago Bears, passed away on the 6th. That's not good news. That's just news. It's like football adjacent news. And it happened like the day after the podcast aired last week. So I didn't get a chance to report on it because I didn't even know that it had happened. Which is wild. I would have thought that at some point somebody in our family would have mentioned that she died. Because we're all Bears fans, and we've been saying for years that, like, Virginia McCaskey just needs to be removed from the upper management and the ownership role because she's just way out of touch. And now I guess she is. So, yeah, Virginia McCaskey, like I said, owner of the Chicago Bears, passed away last week. And I'm not throwing any hate on her name, but I just know that now, as much as it sucks to have somebody die to have this happen, it does open up some opportunities for Chicago to maybe start to make some changes instead of just being rooted in whatever it was that she had going on that made her so anti making them a good team. I don't know. We'll see. This is a lot of crazy shit, man. There's some cool stuff to happen. We ordered, oh man, because you know, I was thinking about it because I made dinner last night and I made this like basically like a creamy Parmesan sauce. But since I have to make it so I can eat it and make it obvious, Parmesan I can eat just in small amounts. And then I made the cream sauce with a little bit of gluten-free flour, some ghee, which is basically clarified butter, which is actually pretty damn good. You get like a little bit of that butter taste and the milk fat from butter without actually the aggravating proteins that make your stomach hoit. And yeah, just mixed that together and made like a almost not quite a roux, but sort of. And then just started adding goat milk to it and then the Parmesan cheese, let it melt down. And then grilled up some shrimp and chicken in the broiling pan in the oven with some of that Old Bay seasoning and whatnot. And then diced tomatoes, chopped spinach, toss it into the stuff, throw it over some pasta, some spaghetti, and it was deliciousable. I was doing that because the day before, we'd ordered a chicken sandwich, right? So, like, it's hard for me to order stuff, like we've mentioned before. I can't justify the cost more than anything else. It sucks to not be able to get what you want or what you need to be able to eat because so many places have such limited options. But, yeah, when we ordered, I'm like, okay, this is, like, two juicy chicken breasts and blah, blah, blah on this sandwich. Yeah, I ordered this fucking sandwich, and I'll put a photo of this. I'm sure we have a photo of it somewhere. I'll put a photograph of this thing on the Wandering One Studios Blue Sky page so you can take a look. These were the smallest chicken breasts I've ever seen in my life. I told my wife, I'm like, these are pigeon titties, man. This ain't chicken breasts. They're so small, I could actually pick one of them up and close my entire hand around it. It disappeared in my hand. That's how small these chicken breasts were. But then, because I had asked, you know, I called ahead because I'm obviously substitutions. It's like, it's a hickory bourbon glaze. I'm like, yo, man, put that shit on the side just in case it's not gluten-free, which it wasn't. it was not. But then they were like, yeah, like I can't have the gluten, I can't have the lactose, so no butter on anything, that sauce on the side, and I'll see it when it gets here. Thing gets here, it's literally drenched in the sauce. Including the bun, which was a pain in the ass. And then all the fries had soaked, been sitting in the sauce. So it soaked up all the fries, all the broccoli. I was like, oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So we had to call him back. Oh, I had to have DoorDash refund the order, which is so stupid because they refund it. Then they make you repurchase it instead of just saying like, hey man, just, it's going to be a net wash. They're still getting paid. Make them just cook the shit again. No. So the manager that we got to talk to, young guy, I want to say his name was Clayton or something like that. Anyway, young kid, sounded really cool and very apologetic, very helpful. And I was like, you know, I'll go in there and see what I could do to get them to put something a little bit more substantial in there. He's like, we're getting this complaint a lot. He's like, we don't make the chicken here. Like, we obviously don't slaughter our own chickens. But he's like, yeah, we're getting that complaint a lot that the portion size is nowhere near commensurate to what you paid for it. I'm like, yeah, I know, because I ordered two chicken sandwiches last week. I didn't remember I had ordered from them. But two chicken sandwiches came out to almost $50 with, you know, a tip and the service fee and, you know, the gas charge and all the other bullshit that, you know, DoorDash stacks on top of stuff. I'm like, I'd rather just get the chicken and wait and just be hungry and then wait and make an actual solid chicken sandwich. So that might be what I'd do this week is just get some... So I'm going to make some more of my bread this week, this weekend. And I make another couple of loaves of bread. That might be what I'll do. Is I'll make a couple of loaves of bread and then go like, all right, look, this is what a chicken sandwich should look like. And I bet if I add up the cost of it, it's probably half of what I would have paid to, you know, not even that. It's probably like a third of what I would have paid for the sandwich if I had just made it myself. But yeah, maybe I'll put that up on the Wandering Ones Blue Sky too, so you could see that. But I'm definitely putting up those little tiny chicken breasts, man. It's embarrassing. If I was Ruby Tuesdays, I would have been embarrassed to send that out. But anyway, the manager guy was nice. He remade the order, shipped it back out. It was correct the second time around. And then as a little thank you, as a way of, you know, sending an apology, he sent along a gluten-free cheesecake, which was really nice of him. But like I told, like my wife was like, he sent us a piece of cheesecake, which you can't eat because it's cheesecake. So it's all dairy. I'm like, yeah. But it was the thought that counted, and he's a really nice guy. So I'd like to say, you know, that guy at Ruby Tuesdays over here, yeah, you're all right with me, dude. And thank you. That was a really, really sweet gesture. I really appreciated that. That was really nice. I really liked that. That was a fun little thing to have happen that week. Man, there's lots of cool stuff actually happened too. We got the Girl Scout season going around, and my wife and I bought some cookies from my niece. And I feel bad like walking past the Girl Scouts. I know that they make money hand over fist, and you know, when I was a Boy Scout, like I hated doing the fucking fundraisers because it was always popcorn. Trails End popcorn. Literally some of the worst popcorn in the whole free world. And you could never beat the Girl Scouts with this shit, man. It was like they had like three, when I first started, it was like three things. It was like butter, like movie butter kind of popcorn. I think it was like a kettle corn. And then the other one was like, I don't know, maybe just like plain ass popcorn or whatever. But if you're a Boy Scout, you couldn't sell shit that could compare to the Girl Scouts. They were just trouncing us. So it sucked doing those fundraisers. They always had it was the dumbest fundraiser. I'm like, can we do something else? Anything else besides fucking popcorn? No. But they wouldn't let it happen. But I saw the Girl Scouts in front of the grocery store when I was doing shopping this week. And I was rolling down because it was a nice day. And I was kind of letting some of the ick shake off of me. I was breathing some of the air, which might have been a little bit of a mistake because there was a big pollen bloom recently. But that song APT with Rosie and Bruno Mars came on. And as I'm driving past, all you can hear is that booch, 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 booch. And the little girl that's out there, she hears the song and then she starts dancing along to the song as I'm driving past. So I'm like, oh shit, that's cool. So I stopped and like had to pick up another couple things. I turned around after I'd made my third stop for the day. Just in the same parking lot area. I just turned around and came back and just donated $6 for like somebody who wanted one to get like a free box of cookies on me just because it was cool to watch her, you know, just hearing this song. Ah, pata, pata, ah, pata, pata. And she was just excited and having a good time. And it sucks to stand out there in the hot. You got to dress in the damn uniform and everything like that. And then you got to sell cookies to people who want them, but also be ignored by everybody who doesn't want them. You know, and she had a little speaker out there too, so she could play some music while she was sitting there. But I think she heard the car and the stereo, the bass, and she was just like, yeah, which was, it was a fun little moment, man. I hope that helped her out a little bit. I like that kind of stuff. I've never understood though, is like what, and this isn't my red pill audition here. I'm just kind of saying, there's some weird stuff I noticed. It's like kind of hypocritical. And also, I don't know if it's like I'm not going to say it's a cancel culture thing, but I think on the heels of like the Me Too movement and stuff like that, where like there's actually an egregious societal wrong that need to be addressed and some dangerous and hateful people out there who definitely needed to be taken down. Why are the Boy Scouts now just the Scouts, but the Girl Scouts are still the Girl Scouts? I thought they were supposed to like, you know, mold those two together. Why isn't it just the Scouts? And if that's the case, can the dude sell the cookies too? Like, I'm just saying, like, it should be, if you're looking for the inclusion, those kids don't have a dog in that fight, right? So why isn't the Boy Scouts just the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts just the Girl Scouts? Or why don't they combine them both together instead of making one have to drop this side, but the other one still keeps the gender identification? That seems a little bit like hypocritical to me. You know what I mean? If the goal is to try to bring everyone together and to unite them under one banner, then this flies in the face of that. There's really no other way to look at it because that's exactly what's happened. But I just thought that was kind of bizarre that they made this whole big fuss about it. And like, and for generations, aside from, you know, the people that they were worried about, you know, like a filthy, pervy scoutmaster or whatever, that's the thing that you'd have to worry about that, whether it was at school, whether it was your kid's karate instructor, whether it was, you know, the piano teacher, you know, it could have been your neighbor, could have been your relative. You'd have to worry about protecting your kids from being touched on by adults that are nasty, evil, hateful bastards. So yeah, there's that. But why did that have to be the thing where we just cut off the Boy Scouts, but the Girl Scouts stayed left alone? That never sat right with me. Because here's the other thing. I'll be with you. I'll keep it a buck with you as a Boy Scout, a former Boy Scout. You really want the boys and girls separated. Some of the shit that we would do as Boy Scouts was, borderline criminal behavior. And it's also the kind of shit that girls would probably never really think to do. We used to go camping on military bases, and they would tell us all the time, if you find expired rounds or you find like shell casings and stuff like that on the ground, don't touch them. Let an adult know what they are or where you found them. And then, you know, make sure you keep a circle around them so nobody touches them or accidentally sets them off. How many times do you think we listen to that shit? Every now and again, we'd find like because we camped out on military bases, you know, you'd find like, what they called sanitary dumpsters. When they got a bunch of surplus gear that maybe the Army's going to phase out this particular pocket style, or they're going to use a different sort of stitching or whatever, and uniforms go out of date or out of quote unquote code. Then they just take them and throw them into a big ass dumpster by the box. So we would find like, we would go out to those places and we'd find like brand new uniforms in plastic, in big cardboard boxes of uniforms wrapped up in plastic. They're not touched at all. They're brand spanking new. We just dig through them and find our own sizes. We'd have brand new BDUs when we came home, new pairs of boots, canteens. Sometimes we find like a rucksack, you know what I mean? It's like basically a giant like military style backpack for camping and, you know, shit like that. So you can find all kinds of cool gear out there, but you'd also find like bullets, like live rounds. And how many times as a Boy Scouts, we would just take a log and like hew a little V section out of it and line up all these fucking bullets in a line and start a fire and just wait for the gunpowder to ignite and shoot bullets across a lake. A bunch of little girls would probably never think to do some shit like that. And if they did, it'd be one in a million. But we did that shit every camp out for a while until we got in trouble for it. And yeah, there would be times when you would, and this is how dumb we were as kids. We knew what blank ammunition was. What we didn't really know was like how incredibly dangerous even blank ammunition can be. And a lot of times for like exercises, they'll use blank ammunition to simulate the stress and the sound of gunfire. Because you don't have to actually be getting shot at for gunfire to stress you the fuck out. But yeah, we would take a handful of blanks and stuff like that and throw them into the fire. And you just see like these red hot shell casings come flying out all of a sudden, running through the woods like a bunch of assholes. Little girls wouldn't want to do that shit. You know what I mean? I go to a campsite. Did one campsite where I was getting in a fight with this one dude. And I hated this guy's guts. But he was a bigger kid than me. So I had to think smarter ways to fuck with him. So, like, if he would push me around or punch me or something like that, I was like, all right, I'll get you. And I just took, like, some jelly from the canteen. This was, like, at a big, a normalized Boy Scout campsite. They had, like, a kitchen facility and all this other jazz. I took some jelly from the canteen and smeared it all over his sleeping bag. And then ran a trail down his sleeping bag outside of his tent. Because we had, like, canvas tents because it was summer. And just ran it down there and so made sure all these ants crawled up into his sleeping bag while he was sleeping at night and bit him up. That's the kind of shit boys do, man. And you don't want your little girls growing up around that shit. You know what I mean? No. And I get the idea and the thought behind it. And I understand that you think you're coming from a good place. But there's a reason why those things are kind of separated. Because that wild, feral boy energy has to be contained and controlled and managed. Because otherwise it does harmful, hateful shit to little girls, you know? That's the old thing when they tell you, don't tell a girl that a boy likes her if he's pushing her in the playground or pulling her hair. She shouldn't associate abuse, you know what I mean, or poor treatment with a sign of or an act of love or admiration. And that's 100% valid. And by that rationale, what I'm saying is maybe those little wild-ass boys need to be controlled by a group of men who can tell them, hey, look, little fool, this is not how you act around human beings, let alone around ladies. And that was one of the things we actually did get when we were Boy Scouts. Like, we did get that kind of instruction about how to be a gentleman, you know, how to conduct yourselves. Yeah, they knew boys were going to do boy shit. It's like, but that doesn't mean you do that shit to women. Like, you're going to roughhouse and stuff like that. That's fine. You and your fellas do that. Don't do that to the girls. That's not how we act. That's not how we conduct ourselves. So, yeah, I mean, and like I said, I know this is probably going to be leaning to the border of cancel culture. Like, well, what are you trying to say? I think we're too wrapped up in trying to cancel people and too wrapped up in trying to dig back through somebody's past to destroy them for something they said years and years ago. Like, nobody ever grows or changes or evolves. That's one thing I found that was highly ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, just like you don't want to give somebody a pass. Like, I love Kanye West's music. I always had, but I'm not giving him a pass on him being a Nazi-toting MAGA idiot now just because he made College Dropout. Go fuck yourself, dude. You should be shunned for this. You should be eschewed for this. But if you did something fucked up years and years ago and you've made your recompense and you're trying to become a better person, that's the thing I said about Michael Vick. People were just shitting all over Michael Vick. That man went to prison. He paid his fines. He did his time, and he actively started working with the ASPCA to increase awareness about animal abuse and to advocate against it on behalf of the animals. And he turned his life around, and people were still like, I hope he doesn't get a red cent. Man, fuck you. Like, you've never done anything in your life that deserved you being raked over the coals right now. If we knew this thing about you, everyone would want to set you on fire. But for some reason, this person, no, you can't forgive them. You don't deserve forgiveness either then. And that was another thing I noticed recently, is there's a lot of hate about this. This is another thing. When I talked about hypocritical, there's a thing that popped up recently where there was a you know, those on-the-street interviewers where they catch somebody at an award show or at an event and they interview them. And they, the recent thing that I've been seeing lately, and the fucked up part about it, is a lot of black men, which I find really disgusting. Because I know what y'all niggas was doing. There's a video that's popped up recently of Mia Khalifa, who you might remember from her her stint with Rooster Teeth when she was doing sports talk radio there, and also from her various extracurricular activities in adult films. I didn't know who she was when she first hit the scene. I just heard Mia Khalifa, and I just thought she was like the wife or sister of Wiz Khalifa. That's how much I didn't know. And then when I found out who she was and what she was about, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how about that? So yeah, I knew who Mia Khalifa was after a while. Like, when I found out who she was, I'm like, I know what she's about. I know what she's done. But now here it is 2024, 2025. This interview pops up where she says, I'm Mia Khalifa, I'm a jewelry designer, and there's all these videos of these black dudes kind of like screwing up their face like, come on, son. Like, you know we know who Mia Khalifa is. I know you know who Mia Khalifa is. Why can't she be something else? You know what I mean? Like, if she decides at one point that she wanted to be, you know, maybe she wants to be a mom. Maybe she wants to raise a family or something like that. Is she always just going to be the girl that you watched on like fucking Bang Bus or something? She'll never be able to get past that. I know certain people do certain things that you're like, man, we just don't forgive certain things. Sure, and catch you eating babies, we're not going to be like, yeah, that guy, you know, used to, you know, it was a Joe Rogan thing from way back. It's like, this guy used to fuck kids, but now he's cool. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to walk back from certain things. But like, she was young, she was dumb and impressionable. She wanted to make a lot of money real fast. And she's like, I'm hot and I can do this. I'm not saying it's the choice you should make, but she made the choice. And for anybody who's screwing their faces up at her, let me just be honest with you. You know what she did and how she was doing it. So don't judge her for that shit. You know good and hell well how you know who she is. And you didn't just read about her in fucking Maxim magazine. You've seen the videos too. I saw them. I'm not going to lie. What the fuck is wrong with these people acting like they're so good? They're elevated above Mia Khalifa. Get the fuck out of here with that. People need to watch themselves, man. There's a lot of, especially like a lot of like, you know, YouTube creators and stuff out there. We're acting like, come on, Mia, we know who you are. Yeah, she knows who she is too. And, you know, you want to trust people to be able to identify as, well, she identifies now as a jewelry creator. How about that? All right. Let that woman live her life. Who the fuck, what is it affecting you? Why do you care? You know what I mean? When I saw her starting to do that show on Rooster Teeth with sports ball, I was like, oh, good for her. Good for her. She wants to change, you know, she wants to change her track, rewrite a little bit of her past, and maybe not even rewrite her past, but just step away from her past and become a legitimate sportscaster. She actually had good insights on sports. And I listened to the show because she was one of the few female commentators that I've seen that wasn't just hired to be a talking head. You know what I mean? Like, she actually knew about and cared about the games. She was passionate about like what she was doing. And I had a lot of respect for that. You know what I mean? So what? You saw her getting, you know, filled out like an application in a video 10 years ago. She's a different person now. And maybe she still does that shit. I don't know. But I know she's trying to do something different. So why not give her some props? She actually auctioned off her glasses. I found this out too when I was trying to figure out like, what is she doing now? Why is everybody giving her shit for being a jewelry designer? She actually donated those trademark like thick plastic librarian style glasses she was known for wearing. She donated those things to raise money to help Lebanese refugees. Earned over $100,000 by auctioning off those glasses. But we're not going to talk about that though, right? We're just going to talk about all the times when she had a bunch of dudes standing around her with their dicks out. She can't come past that and she can't become a different person. She'll always just be that forever. Then I hope that you're always at your lowest moment, if that's how you feel. You should always be known for the lowest common denominator of who you were as a human being. You should always have to live that truth, that that's the way you feel about that. That nobody has the opportunity to change or grow or, you know, elevate themselves. That's how you feel? Remember that. Remember that when your day comes. Because then I hope I'm not the one standing behind you be like, remember that time when you did that thing? I will call you the fuck out. I will. People need to pump their brakes, man. They need to pump their brakes. It's wild, man. There's so much, so much crazy in the world. You know what? I actually had a fun theory, too. We were talking about, like, you know, bits and parts and pieces hanging out everywhere. Somebody was talking about... It was part of the whole thing that there's a proclamation that was made. One of the executive orders that Trump signed in his whirlwind first month as the disaster in chief was that now people must refer to themselves as the gender which they were assigned at conception. This is how stupid these people are. What they meant to say was the gender assigned at birth. Conception is when the actual egg is impregnated by the sperm and the first, you know, signs of a zygote being created. That's conception. And at conception, humans are all female. So I was having a great day with that. And then people were like, yep, there goes President Musk, President Trump, officially now because of this proclamation, the first female president. And I was like, that's funny stuff. That hits the spot. But I also started thinking about this whole theory of like, you know, you look at like the Bible and stuff like that. Or a lot of these origin stories talk about, you know, being sculpted out of like man being sculpted out of the clay of the earth, right? That's a big thing for the Judeo-Christian faith, right? What if that was actually, I mean, if you take that at its word, right? Then like, yeah, it would make sense that you would start out with the female. You know what I mean? Like, there's fewer extraneous dangling parts to deal with. And then, like, let's say you were making the female and, like, the breasts fell off. And you're like, oh, damn. Well, you know what? Let's make something a little different. This one fell off. We'll just roll these two a little bit smaller. And with what's left over, we'll roll one of these. And, hey, look at that. I created something different. That would actually be kind of funny if that was how it happened. It was like, I didn't want the big swinging breasts on this one. I made these little smaller ones. Oh, they fell off. Shit. You know what? Let's roll these up and just stick those right there. Hey, look at that. We made something completely new. All right. Now let's make a couple more of these. We can make these different sizes too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's weirder philosophies out there. That's just mine right now. Anyway, that was just another silly thing that just ran across my head. And speaking of running across stuff, man, I watched a kid almost get squished in the parking lot the other day. So now everybody's been in a store or something like that, or a public place where a kid makes that high-pitched, shrill screaming noise where it sounds like they're being like disemboweled with the flaming hot trowel. And so this kid was doing that, and I was leaving the grocery store, and he is screaming his head off, right? And so I'm like, damn, what is wrong with this child? Is he actively being murdered right now? Because if that's the case, we need to stop that. But if it's not, maybe somebody could, so you'd shut the fuck up. It was just really obnoxious, and it was late, too. It was like later in the evening. It was like 8 o'clock. The grocery store's getting ready to close down, and this kid just, like, oh, my God, please. So then the mom, and this is how piece of shit she was. She got one kid in the stroller, the other one who's about the same age. I say this kid's no older than maybe 4. Is just screaming and running through the parking, through the grocery store. And then little Negro just runs out the door. He runs out the door of the grocery store. And I only saw him because he was behind me and I was already out in the middle of the street getting ready to go to my car. I see him just go flying out into the street in front of the grocery store. And I'm like, oh my God, he was just far enough away that I couldn't turn around and catch him before a car would have got him. And then the mom, not running, not jogging, just lollygagging along, pushing the stroller. I mean, at like, I'm reading the labels on the aisle pace. And she goes, come back. Don't run out there. You stop. I'm like, bitch, knees to chest, go get that kid. And he just ran out into the parking lot like for nothing. And you know what? I don't like to call anybody a bitch like that. But for real though, if that's what you're doing with your kid and you let him just run out there like that, you deserve that shit. And then I turned to go and catch him. Another lady saw it. And she turned to go catch him. And that's when somebody from, I guess, this lady's, the mom's vehicle comes running out and grabs his kid. And he screams even louder. You know what I mean? Like he's being assailed. Whenever all they're really trying to do is keep him from getting smashed by an SUV that's going through the parking lot. I'm like, man, somebody need to take that kid and put him into like a program or something. And somebody need to do something to that mama. Like the absolute, she didn't even catch the kid. She didn't even catch up to the kid until the lady who picked him up out of the middle of the street had run him back to the car. She walked. She strolled the entire time. Just let her kid just run into traffic. I'm like, oh my God. And there was one truck that came out and almost hit this kid, but he was in the lane where the kid was going in the first place. So it stopped. And then I think I heard the guy yell like, what the fuck is your problem? And I'm like, because I was laughing when I got my car. I'm pulling away. You could hear this dude, what the fuck is wrong with you letting this kid? I'm like, yeah, you've like, why didn't you grab him? Because I'm a black man trying to grab this little white baby in the middle of a parking lot at night. That's not going to work out so great. I don't give a fuck how good my intentions were. All it takes is one motherfucker with the wrong idea about anything, or some really half-cooked ideas about everything, to say something like that. I'm like, I was trying to save him, but you know what? Fuck him. Just throw him back into the street. You didn't care enough to run after him. I don't care enough to get shot over him. Fuck him. You can make another one. I know that sounds, but seriously though, man, you get worried about stuff like that. I want to help, but at the same time, I'm not trying to go to prison for this shit either. I won't be able to play video games in prison, probably. I don't think they'll let you have an Xbox. Oh, speaking of Xbox, a shout out to my boy Hobo Poppy Pinch. Thank you very much for the gift. I got it. I'm gonna have to check it out sometime soon. Assassin's Creed Mirage, man. The homie hooked the boy up with the free Bidia game. So thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate it. I have to give it a spin sometime soon. Yeah, there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. Because one of them was how much you guys know, I struggle with technology because I like technology. I'm interested in it and I'm intrigued by it. But I don't necessarily believe that the way that we've incorporated it so deeply into our lives is necessarily a good or necessary thing. And one of the things that happens a lot, and I don't know why or how, because I don't have the connection enabled for my phone, is that because I have a Samsung phone, my Samsung TV in our bedroom is constantly asking to connect to it. If I turn on YouTube or whatever, it's like, this TV wants to talk to your phone, connect. I'm like, no, I don't even have Bluetooth on or the NFC, NFC thing turned on my phone. But for some reason, it keeps asking, like it asks like at least once a week. Just begging for shit, man. When I've tried to connect it to that fucking TV, it won't even play the videos. It only plays the audio for YouTube. It never played the video, not once. So I deleted the connection. And now it's like asking, come on, man. Let me try again. Come on, man. Like, get the fuck out of here. I hate when technology be begging. Because it's like, dude, you're getting all the information anyway. Just chill. Just relax. Or then you have technology that doesn't do what it's supposed to do when you're supposed to use it. Then we have a Bluetooth, obviously, a Bluetooth stereo in the car. And I'll turn the Bluetooth on my phone so I can listen to the music that I'm listening to in my headphones while I'm driving. So I can take my headphones off, get in the car, that music will play through the speaker perfectly fine, right? Almost without fail. Like every other time I get in the car, I can be sitting in the car, the Bluetooth on, activated, the car's ready. It tries to pick up my wife's phone instead. I'm like, her phone is on the other side of the fucking house. I'm sitting in the vehicle where the signal's coming from and you won't even try this? What is with this thing? I've had it happen where I've been playing it and it'll just turn itself off. I'm in the middle of the road and all of a sudden it just shuts the Bluetooth off on its own. Just decides, I'm done. I'm like, what the fuck? Turn your ass back on. And when that happens, you know what? Here's the funky thing about it. When that happens and it shuts off in the middle of the drive, before I can reactivate it, because obviously I'm driving, so you can't use it. Even if you wanted to, you know, the hands-free devices, they're like, you're driving, so no, it'll turn off. You have to go somewhere and then shut the car off and then turn it back on so it can all reinitialize. Which is like, why did we have this? Why do we have all this extra technology that doesn't do any of the things correctly? I just don't understand. It drives me crazy. That's one of the reasons why I like, I want to go back to getting books. We're talking about technology, books and stuff. So I'm going to wrap this up real quick in just a second here. But I thought about something. I was listening to this podcast and I don't want to put them on blast because honestly, I think overall it's a good podcast. But I'm very critical about certain things when it comes to like entertainment. And one of the things that as I'm rambling on this podcast, but you know what this is. One of the things that bugs me in a narrative setting is when somebody just rambles on and on with a bunch of random information and details just to say words. It's one of the reasons why I hate when people tell me stories, because oftentimes they don't know how to process information and they don't know how to edit information in a way that keeps the story engaging and gets to the point without belaboring all the nitpicky details that really don't add to the story or embellish the experience at all. It's just talky for saying words, you know? It's like, oh, it's kind of like the thing when you like, somebody's trying to tell you a story. And let's say I want to tell you about like a time when I went out to go to eat with a friend. And I'm like, so I go on Saturday with so-and-so to such and such place. We had lunch there. I had a steak. They had the grilled chicken. It was awesome. And I think we should probably check it out, right? Boom. That's how I tell the story. You got the who, what, where, when, why. And then, you know, if how was a big thing we needed to know, that'd be another thing. But then somebody will tell that story, the same story, and be like, so on Saturday, you know, it was like earlier in the afternoon, it was like not super late, but it was like somewhere between like, you know, 3 and like 4 o'clock. And like, we were going to meet up. It's me and Jenny. Jenny, the girl that I went to high school with, you remember her because she was the one that had like the long, not the one with the long, like the really long hair, but like the shoulder length hair.
So I was gonna meet up with her and we were gonna go over to this place because remember it was like early afternoon. So we're gonna say we meet up at like 4:30, 5-ish, and then we're gonna meet over at this restaurant. Now there's like three restaurants over here, but this one was the one we went to like the month ago, and like this one's the one you mentioned, but we're like we're gonna go there next week. So today or Saturday, what we did was we went to this one, and I'm like, fucking go, dude. Get to the good part. I just wanna I've actually said this before to people, like fast forward to the good part. Just like all right, skip to the good part, or I would say fast forward, and then like that's my cue of like I'm getting bored, and you are not making sense right. You are not making sense right now. You're giving me way too much information that absolutely provides nothing to the story. All right, so now that I've done that for you, so you get an idea of what this is, I was listening to this podcast. I actually like the podcast. It's a narrative podcast. It's a tabletop role playing podcast. There's one player in the campaign who continues to do this at every single opportunity. If you're saying that, something is like as simple as, I want to see if somebody can fix this car. She's like, I want to ask the crowd and, especially like anybody who looks like they might have some mechanical engineering experience or some electrical engineering experience, if they know anything about how to work with the combustion engine or if they have any skills in in mechanics or repair, or if they've ever had to show Jesus Christ, just say I want to find somebody to fix the car. That's all you need to say. I want to find somebody to fix the car. The end. Let's go. But she will ramble on and on and on and on and on and on, and oh my God, it's making me sick just thinking about it. Because here's the thing, none of that adds anything to the conversation, really. And I get that you're like, well, it's a tabletop role-playing game, right? You have to be specific about what you're asking so the GM knows how to set up the scene. That's fair. I'm pretty sure if I said, I want to know if somebody knows how to fix the fucking car, that's pretty succinct. You know what I mean? I don't need to go into every little single minutia of like the idea, like the concept of the engine, and no, just I want to know if somebody can fix the car. And some people might say, well, it is an RPG. It's an RPG. It's a role-playing game. Maybe this is just the role that this particular individual is playing as somebody who's incredibly verbose and chatty, even unnecessarily so. As I'm like, nope, because I've heard other one-shots this person's done, and they are exactly like that in every single one. And I'm like, that's just a part of your personality coming out right there. I'm like, you would be so exhausting to listen to. Like, I love to talk. I love to listen to people who love to talk. I like to have the information though, and I like it to go somewhere and eventually terminate in the end. But she, this lady would just ramble and I'm like, please shut up. Anybody else come in? And I've actually heard other players in the campaign like, all right, and now that we've done all that, they just kind of interrupt and steamroll over, which on the one hand, honestly, if it is a bit rude. I'm not gonna lie, it is a bit rude. I do feel a little bad when it happens just because I'm like, ah. It's like somebody should just take her aside and be like, listen, you gotta learn how to not do whatever the fuck that is. But it's just weird. And it's so old, like right by now, by the time I came across it, it's not gonna really help to say anything about it because I'm sure they probably either addressed the issue or moved on or they're no longer doing the show anymore. But it was just funny to think about that. I'm like, God damn, dude, that is really annoying. And I would get to the point where like, if she talked for more than 10 seconds, I'd be like, shut up, shut up, shut up. I just couldn't do it. I turned the podcast off a couple times because I was like, I can't do this today. I cannot. I don't have the patience for this. Which makes me want to make this, it made me want to go read a book. And it was funny because I was actually at a bookstore when I heard her doing this and I started to freak out. So I turned it off. And then I remembered something. All right. Anybody else remember this? Then this is going to be your homework assignment for the day, for this week. Do me a favor, go and see if you can find a picture of a book from this particular publishing house in your local bookstore or library, and send me a photograph of the ones you find. I might throw one of these into the podcast Blue Sky as well, the studio's Blue Sky for Wonder One Studios. There used to be these books that were like these compendiums of knowledge, basically. And they're usually like a visual, it's like a visual encyclopedia. So there'd be lots of colored illustrations, photographs, 3D cutaways of just X, Y, or Z thing. Sometimes it would be animals. Sometimes it would be like geological formations. It was like a lot of science stuff. Excuse me, sorry. But then they would get into other realms, right? And one of the coolest ones that I noticed and I found out recently was Star Wars. And I not find out, but I rediscovered, actually. I knew about the Star Wars compendiums, and I wanted to get a couple of those. And I think that they do a Final Fantasy one as well, where it's like, it's basically like a Final Fantasy omnibus of all the numbered franchises, all the monsters, the locations, the characters, the items, and they kind of break it all down. There's like one huge, there's like three huge dictionaries for the Final Fantasy one. I think there's like two for the Star Wars one, but they're about like maybe an inch and a half thick, hardbound books that I'm like, I would love these books. They're expensive as fuck, but they're so good. The publishing company is called DK. Literally just those two letters, DK Publishing. And they have like the letters D and K in black and white logo. It looks almost looks like a book opened up. D on one page, K on the other. If you ever see those books out there, if you find one, send me a photograph. Just send me a photograph on the Blue Sky so I can see what it's like, you know. I'm curious. I want to get the Star Wars and the Final Fantasy books. It probably would be like a birthday present or something like that for myself. I'm trying to decide, it's either going to be books or guns. It's going to be either a book or I'm going to go and finally get my my pistol, get my 38. I know, somebody's probably out there going like, why did you get a 38? Because I have 38 fucking caliber rounds right now. Probably need to find some place where I can recycle those things because, you know what I mean? There's got to be somebody who could take those rounds and break them down and maybe, you know, reshape them or refit them to something else. I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas here. Who knows? Anyway, let me get out of here. It's getting later in the afternoon. It's 1:30. I want to get this thing up before it's 3:00 in the afternoon and maybe get some gaming done if I can get my brain together so I can play some video games on the Twitch. So anyway, yeah, check me out, twitch.tv/linkib. Go and visit me for some gaming goodness. Again, right here. You can also find me over on Blue Sky at linkib. You can find me on Blue Sky at Wandering One Studios. That's W1 Studios, the W and the numeral 1 Studios. You can catch me over there. Yeah, we'll see what we're going to put together there today. I don't know. I have no ideas. Yeah, let's reconvene over on Twitch. Check me out over on Blue Sky as well. Check me out on Patreon. Send me an email, please. I would love to read some emails. Please, please, please. And yeah, again, if you find any of those DK Publishing books, send those in. I'd love to be able to, you know, read those out and repost them through the Blue Sky account and so you guys can see what everybody else found. But yeah, do that. Or if you find one, tag me in it. Let me know what's up. And get out of here. Yeah, I'm going to go maybe grab myself some more Mucinex and hopefully stay awake for at least a little bit of a stream before it's dinner time. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing, as always. And look forward to seeing you guys next week for the next podcast. And I'll catch you a little further on down the road, everyone. Peace.